For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined today by Jerry Hamilton, On3 national recruiting analyst, as well as a recruiting reporter and analyst for InsideTexas.com. Jerry, you're on the road again. Where are you at today?
I was at Aldi Neisenhower for athletic period, taking a look at Ryan Niblett, and they have a couple other good young kids over there. So first time really catching up with Niblett since he committed to Texas.
Yep. Niblett, one of one of several commitments now for the Longhorns, but the first wide receiver in this recruiting class. And that leads me kind of into what I wanted to talk to you about, because earlier today you put in a recruit prediction for Arch Manning to Texas. What brought about that decision for you, and why Texas, and just give us the lowdown.
Yeah, you know, look, I mean, first of all, his recruitment's not finished. Obviously, he hasn't committed anywhere. But I think, you know, look, Sarkisian's done a really good job with this recruitment. I think AJ Milwee has as well, which, you know, going into the recruitment, you thought maybe Sark had to be the guy to handle the majority of it. But I think AJ Milwee's done a really good job. Justin Wells said as much. And when I was at a game this year, Arch Manning's game, Sarkisian and Milwee were both there. So he's been in that recruitment every step of the way. I think the quarterback development, that resume, the offense, the play calling, the game planning, there's a lot of things factoring in right now. And I think Texas is just doing a really solid job with that recruitment. But I'm not hedging here. I predicted Texas, but recruiting, it changes. Things change. You have more visits to go on potentially. So we will see. I mean, obviously, Georgia, as Chad Simmons reported last week for On3, you know, Georgia's really playing the stability card, I think, as well as Alabama was playing that card. So that's the angle maybe Georgia's taken at Texas in this recruitment right now. And look, that's recruiting. That's why we love all this stuff, right? I mean, you're not going to compete with Steve Sarkisian in the quarterback development and resume standpoint, right? So where are you going to hit them on? Well, you hit them on 5-7 last year. And that's really, I think, when you won a national championship, you can scream stability as much as you want because you have it. So I think that's kind of the angle there. I think Arch, though, this is not a football decision. I think whether it's Eric Nolene, myself, Justin Wells, if you had Chad Simmons on here, Sam Spiegelman, all of us would say this just isn't a football decision. This is how comfortable you are as a student athlete and going somewhere. And Archie said this last week on, I think he was in Birmingham doing an event, talked about how, you know, he always told his kids, you know, football can end any time. You have to pick a school that you really like being a student at, this town or city you like being in. And I think that's where Texas and Georgia have kind of separated themselves in all this, is I think Arch is comfortable at both of those places and can envision himself going to school, being a student at those places.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Kirby Smart preaches stability, but he hasn't had stability at the quarterback spot. You know, I think that that's interesting from my vantage point, in that each university, and this is to their credit, whether it's Texas or Georgia or Alabama or whomever, they're going to try to position their reason for being that the Arch should choose their school ahead of another. When in reality, you look at Steve Sarkisian's resume of quarterback tutelage, whether it's as a head coach or an assistant coach or both, vastly superior to anything that Kirby Smart or any of the guys around him have done at this point. At the same time, program stability. I agree with that from a Georgia perspective. So they should knock on that as much as they could, or as much as they can. That being said, I think that with the recruiting class Texas just had come in, as well as all the transfers Texas just got, I think this season is going to be a little bit of a turning of a tide for the Longhorns.
I think one other piece to it, and I should have mentioned it, is when Quinn Ewers transferred to Texas, I think some people somewhat wrote Texas off for Arch. They're like, well, that doesn't make sense now. Multiple people, I think we've all heard that that's not the case. And, you know, that's not something that's going to push Arch one direction or the other. And I can see why people thought that, because Peyton Manning started his freshman year at Tennessee, right? Went in and competed against Brandon Stewart and some who was a returning quarterback, Dustin Colquitt, that got hurt maybe. I can't remember who that was. But and then, you know, Arch Manning goes in and competes with Amaro Miller and ultimately wins that job as a freshman. So, you know, people are saying, well, he won't go somewhere. He's not guaranteed to play. Well, those both Mannings started as freshmen, but they went in and won a job against really good competition. So I've heard that's not going to be a determining factor. Could it change tomorrow? Sure.
Yeah, I have as well. I think that he's looking more for, you know, what's the best 5 years from now, not next week, you know, or not next year. Because ultimately, we can talk about NIL and the things that he'll have an advantage of if he goes to Texas and or Georgia or really any of these places. NIL is going to – NIL will be there. But the true payoff is when you sign $100 million contract like Patrick Mahomes just did,
yes,
you know, with the Kansas City Chiefs. That makes all the other numbers pale in comparison. And I think that he's from a family that knows that and understands that. I mean, not only does he have uncles that were very successful pro football quarterbacks, his dad's a very successful real estate guy and understands dollars and cents, you know? And so I think that, you know, if you look at it from that standpoint.
To your point, Bobby, this is a rare recruitment that an NIL's not going to be a deciding factor, because he's going to crush it wherever he goes. He's set for life wherever he goes. So that's not what this is going to be about. This is about football and life as a student, and that trumps all.
Yep. Question for you. This is interesting to me. Ryan Niblett, that you were at, obviously one of the receivers that Texas wants in this class if Arch comes aboard. You said that he had set up his official visit to Texas. It looked like June 24th.
June 24th through 26th, he confirmed that. He had mentioned that in a text to me that was possible or probable. When I talked to him today, that is, in fact, the scheduled visit date right now. Look, and I'll say it, like all other kids, you know, you start getting recruited harder when you commit in a lot of instances. Oregon's not backing off. Alabama's still talking about a visit. So just like when we asked Samaje Burrell on the show, this is recruiting today. So if Ryan Niblett schedules a visit somewhere else, Texas fans shouldn't really freak out. He's got a really strong relationship he built with Brennan Marion. And his mom really enjoyed her spring game experience. And the experience, the one-on-one time with Sarkisian, I believe his wife was involved in some of that as well. So his mom really checked a big box on. She made a big check mark for Ryan on that one. And obviously – as any mom, if you find a good spot for your kid that's close to home, that matters.
That's good recruiting is what that is. That's what that sounds like to me. Let me ask you this. You know, as we talk about Arch Manning, there's been a lot of, you know, conjecture that others may want to join him wherever he decides to attend. And so he's had a group of recruits talking to him from day one. Right. What is kind of that potential cascade or waterfall effect that a choice of Arch Manning might have? Who are some of those guys? Is it Reuben Owens and Cedric Baxter or Cedric Baxter? Is it Jontae Cook? I mean, who are those pieces to the puzzle that you think are important to know if something like Arch Manning does indeed happen?
Yeah, I think Baxter's more on his own. I still think closer to home just after visiting him in Orlando, and I'm going to go see him again next week. But I'll be surprised if he ventures that far. But maybe. Look, Texas A&M, they're in the Final Five. We'll see, right? But I do think the schools closer to home are going to be tough to beat for him. But Jontae Cook, Reuben Owens, I mean, Anthony Hill, I mean, those guys are all kind of in the state of Texas or prospects that are closely watching. The question would be, I think one of the interesting parts of this is if Arch picks Texas eventually, other people are going to have to ramp up their NIL even more to combat that positive momentum Texas will have. That's going to be something interesting to watch.
Or non-NIL.
Whatever.
I made a comment, and then, you know, I feel like some people are misconstruing that. And I want to say this. I mean, some of what's going on right now is decidedly not NIL. And whether they want to admit that or not is up to them. But that's where, you know, I think that you're correct. You know, when you get momentum, sometimes you don't have to worry about that other part of it as much as you might. Harris Sewell, also the offensive lineman out of Odessa Permian, part of that group.
Yeah, absolutely. Kyle Flood's done really good work with Sewell. He brought Texas from probably the fifth spot right into the mix. And that is one that, yes, absolutely. If Arch were to pick Texas, I think that could push Sewell over the top. And look, that kid's not following. He's making his own decision. But Texas, Kyle Flood have done enough to put themselves in position to be able to close that out with that type of momentum.
I know you saw this. Texas moved up to, I think, I'm looking at the recruit prediction machine. I think it's 60% favorites now. With Georgia second at 27%, with your prediction, and Justin Wells also putting one in, as well as Eric Nahlin.
And a guy that covers recruiting for Ole Miss.
Yeah, so there's been four folks now do that. You know, the thing that I'm interested in is where the timeline might be. You know, I talked to Sam Spiegelman, you have as well, the On3 regional recruiting analyst that lives in New Orleans and has known the Manning family now since Arch was a eighth grader, essentially. You've mentioned it. Justin and Eric have talked about it. We're looking, we think, as a summertime decision, but it's not 100% clear. We expect that he might visit Texas on the June 24th through 26th weekend, but it's not definitive. They're playing their cards close to their vest, and that's totally fine. You know, my question is, if he commits in the summertime, is that the ideal time frame for Texas, in your opinion?
I think it's ideal, absolutely. And here's one piece. The Manning Passing Academy dates were just recently released. That's the same weekend as the 24th through 26th of June. So that's something to take note of. If I could see Arch doing more of a midweek visit where there's not as much attention around that, because you assume he's going to be at the Manning Passing Academy, the 23rd, 4th, 5th, you would assume that is happening. You know, with Ruben Owens setting up Georgia June 17th, that's Georgia's big weekend. You know, that's an easy path to go down, that Georgia has all their top offensive guys there, JUCO receiver, who's just tremendous. And Ruben Owens, who's obviously their top back on the board. So that could lead you down that path for Georgia. But yeah, so then you kind of start to tie in Manning Passing Academy. That's, you know, look, Arch is not attending Elite 11. He's not expected to play in an all-star game. So the Manning Passing Academy, who knows if he'll actually throw at that. That may be the last time people really see him other than his senior year of football. But
hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I do. Everything we hear is that this won't go into senior year because it would just be too much chaos.
I agree with that.
Too much chaos. I mean, there's people in the circle that are already sick of everything, the process, but you want your kid to make a decision, right? And you want him to have his own timeline to make a decision because it has been overwhelming. Isidore Newman, I believe, canceled their spring game just because it's just too much hoopla right now. It's too much hype and too much stuff, too much going on. And by the way, Texas coaches, I believe that's Milwee and Flood, are scheduled to be at Isidore Newman Friday.
Okay, got it. Jerry, I'm sorry to take you away from that, because I think the whole Arch Manning dynamic is extremely fascinating. Ooh. Not only is the nation's number one prospect, you know, potentially football's first family, you know, but let's talk about another player that's in play, we think, a little bit for Texas. The degree to which is up for the debate, and that's Jordan Addison, the wide receiver transfer, Biletnikoff winner from the University of Pittsburgh. What we're hearing right now and what you're hearing, I want to compare notes. What I'm hearing is that he's expected most likely to visit USC sometime in the next week to 10 days, and that USC continues to be the prohibitive favorite, backed by primarily his relationship with Caleb Williams, the quarterback at USC now that transferred from Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley. What is there anything you would add to that level? I have one more little piece of nugget of information that I think might be interesting too, but I want you to add anything you have first.
Yeah, I think the one thing with Addison to be clear of, especially with the Caleb Williams connection, is out in LA, this is legitimate NIL opportunities and big ones in Los Angeles. I mean, and I think that's a big part of the push. Look, they're both from Maryland. They know each other, family. So obviously, that Caleb's dad is – he's a go-getter, man. I mean, he knows a lot of people, right?
No, he recruited half of OU's class whenever.
That's right.
You know,
that's right. He's one of those guys that was very involved in the recruiting process, got to know kids and parents, and so there's a lot of that involved in Addison's recruitment. Obviously, you know, it's known now that Addison worked out with Bryce Young, out in California a little bit as well, so. You know, the thing I always go back to with this in regards to Texas is Texas didn't know this was coming. If they didn't know this was coming, they wouldn't have moved on Hall that fast, right? I mean, because you can get – it gets into a – people can say whatever they want, but it gets into a numbers game really quick. And not numbers as far as your players on your roster, but numbers of guys you can put on the field and what their roles are. And when you've recruited other guys and kind of what you've talked to them about, how you see them fitting at Texas – the timing didn't suggest Texas knew this was coming.
Right. Whereas I think that USC most certainly did. Yes. And even perhaps
– I think Narduzzi's only called out one staff, right?
Yeah. That is a fair point. Fair point. What I was going to say, and Eric made this point in the scoop today on InsideTexas.com. The one part I wanted to add is, you know, Texas is trying to just stay in the game. Right now, it is clear that USC is the team, and possibly Texas is even running third right now behind Alabama, to your point, playing pitch and catch with Bryce Young. But, you know, if Addison chooses to prolong the process and not make a decision here in the next week to 10 days, then Texas has an opportunity to become a bigger player in this. As of right now, we have not heard exactly what Jordan Addison is doing from a timing perspective. If it is early, my guess is it's going to be USC or Alabama. Right. If it draws another month or two out, all bets are off, and then we'll see where Texas runs into things there. You agree with that?
I think that's fair. 100% fair point. I mean, if USC is going to get him, they're going to get him quick.
Yeah, I think
the worst thing, and more than Texas, the last thing USC wants to hear is that he's going to go visit Bama.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, because they've lost. Look, Bama's gone out to California to get Bryce Young, Najee Harris, the running back. You know, so it's one of those things that I agree with you. They tend to lock horns a little bit more with those top-notch recruits, or at least they have to this point, than Texas has. Jerry, I'm looking at this, and the weeks are coming up, and we're looking at visit dates for the Longhorns. That third weekend, it sounds like, of June. Anything else that you're hyper aware of? We have the state track meet coming up. You did a great piece over the weekend on all the guys that are going to be showing up for that. Anything you think we should be aware of as it relates to recruiting for Texas fans?
Now, you know, I was at Friendswood last week, saw Braylon Shelby. I think he's kind of taken off physically right now. I mean, he is filling out, looks unbelievable physically. And I was told, look, I'm a Friendswood High School graduate, so I know the coaching staff really well. Went to high school, some of those guys. His last 14 edge rush attempts, he had 4 sacks. And one of the points of emphasis was they had him drop in coverage too much last year. They think he's going to look like a total different player going at chasing the quarterback more as a senior. And they think he's physically ready to do that. But I think that's USC-Texas battle right now. I mean, I really do see that and see that's it. I think he's going to be at USC June 17th through 19th and then Texas the following weekend, 24th through 26th. And unless a Texas A&M comes in and offers, they were by last week, unless they come in and offer late, I really think it's coming down to those two teams. He might make a trip back out to Tennessee, but I really think it's going to come down to USC and Texas right now and could go either way. I think it's a coin flip.
One player you and I didn't get a chance to talk about that Texas offered after the spring game. And it just kind of, it was one of those things where you and I didn't do a video for a week and a bunch of stuff happened. Terrence Green, Texas yes. offered him. Give people a little feedback because there's another Houston area guy that I know you went and saw.
Yeah.
Give people a little bit of a background on him.
Look, so he was 6'5", 218 as a sophomore. He's now 6'5", 273. So he has really physically taken off in the last 16 months. But the main thing to know about his recruitment is half the schools started out recruiting him as offensive tackle. Oklahoma State was very upfront with him on that on a visit. Other schools have been as well. At least half the schools are recruiting him as a defensive tackle. Texas is recruiting him as a defensive tackle. Bo Davis was the coach that made the offer. He was supposed to be at the spring game, but they got in a little fender bender and couldn't make it that day. I believe Jeff Banks has been through the school in recent days over at Cy Woods, and they're going to get him on campus in June. But he is being recruited as a defensive lineman. And so this isn't one where they're just looking at him as, you know, we're saying D-line, but he's in an offensive tackle. I think there's a belief that he can be in the scheme a really good defensive tackle. And by the way, I'll say the same thing about Marcus Deal. Marcus Deal is being recruited as a defensive lineman. Now, I think you're going to see Zalance Hurd's recruitment transition from Bo Davis to Kyle Flood and Bo Davis. I think there's more after visiting Neville last week. I think there's more to Hurd understanding that left tackle is his future and how bright of a future he can have there. And he already plays right tackle. I mean, he already plays the position, right? So I think that one is going to – you're going to see Kyle Flood start to be involved more in that recruitment from talking to coaches at Neville. That's what they're expecting. Well,
Texas could use young offensive tackles, that's for sure, based on the spring game, in my opinion. Jerry, I appreciate it, man. Terrence Green, by the way, I just wrote this down for those that didn't hear that. From 218 pounds to 273 pounds – in 1 year, big lineman out of Cy Woods that Jerry's seen recently. All right, Jerry, thanks for joining us. Jerry back in a car yet again. He can't get away from it. For Jerry Hamilton.
Not in May, Bobby, not in May. Not in April and May.
For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. This has been On Texas Football.